Where did you find out that?
I read the abstract.
It's implausible deniability.
No, I just asked Stella. Morning.
Morena,
how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
You had a big week.
I did have a big week.
What happened yesterday? I was in town yesterday and heard all those brass bands are going. What was going on?
I was graduating yesterday. Other people were graduating too.
Yeah. You have a good day?
I did, yeah. It was very fun, apart from all the rain.
Oh,
really thwarted photos.
Yeah, didn't it?
But, hey.
Forgot it was really wet. So, graduation day for somebody who's graduating, how does that pan out? You know, what does the day hold? What do you do?
Well, I was in the first ceremony of the day, mm-hmm. and the university has streamlined it, so now it's by faculty. And before, it was just like all of the faculties. So it was only an hour and a half, which I was very pleasantly surprised at. I honestly thought I'd be there for 4 hours, but hour and a half ceremony, and then I went out to lunch with my family.
Oh, the whanau.
And then drinks in the evening with my friends.
Nice. And so graduation means that you now have what? What is your degree?
A Bachelor of Science in Biological Sciences and Psychology and a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's amazing. Your family must be so proud of you.
Yes, that would have been sweet yesterday.
It's a big day. Did they do anything special? Like, you know, they give you anything?
I got a bracelet.
Did you?
And some flowers.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yes.
Delightful. You're wearing your bracelet?
I am.
Well, let me have a look. Let us all see it.
Let us see it.
You'll have to describe it. It's beautiful.
It's just, how do I describe it? It's silver and it's got like crosses on it.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
Oh.
Very nice stuff.
Thank you to the parents.
Exactly.
And the whānau. All right, space junk is your topic today.
Yes, and today's topic actually comes from you. When we were first chatting about the segment and what we could potentially cover, you asked me about space junk.
Yeah, that's right.
At the time, I had no answers, but now I come with knowledge under my belt.
Good.
So let's chat about what it is and if it's a problem. Spoiler alert, it is a problem. So space junk is a very broad term that just means debris, which is usually referring to debris from human activity. So the first human expedition to space that was successful was famously the Soviet Union's 1961 venture, where Yuri Gagarin headed up there in the Vostok 1. He circled Earth at a speed of 27,400 kilometres per hour. The flight lasted 108 minutes, and then he landed via ejection and parachute, which I didn't know. I thought he came down in the rocket, but no. He just got low enough and then jumped out, which seems absolutely petrifying. But I guess if you're an astronaut, that's fine.
Yeah, I wonder how fast it was going at that point.
Yeah.
Must have been okay that didn't kill him.
Yeah, apparently. But how do you decide where you're going to land? Look, I've got a lot of questions, but that was the first successful human in space. But we'd have plenty of attempts and plenty of things being sent up there that didn't have humans in them, of course. In 1941, the Bumper WAC became the first human-made object to enter space. It climbed to an altitude of 393 kilometres.
What was it?
The Bumper WAC.
What?
It's WAC? I don't know.
Yeah, was it a rocket?
Yes.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yep. So that's 20 years between the first thing up there and then the first human up there. And then, of course, there's 70-odd years of things going up into space and maybe or maybe not coming back down. And look, you're not going to believe it, but there's a lot of elements to a rocket. And then we, of course, have satellites. I don't know if you've ever been out in the country. Maybe you can see them in the city. I sometimes see them in the city, but you see them floating past in the sky, clearer out in the country. So the satellites we've already sent up there are doing plenty of things. Communication relay, weather forecasting, navigation, broadcasting, scientific research, of course, and Earth observation. Even radio isn't to do with satellites. I thought that it was, so I learned something. So space satellites are implicated in part of internet function, which is good to know, but not all of it. And at the end of 2023, the index of objects launched into outer space, maintained by the United Nations Office for Outer Space Affairs, reported that there were 11,330 individual satellites orbiting the Earth. So that's a lot.
And some not working, or are they?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I've seen it at Stardome. They had an exhibition. You went and sat in there. Of course, they turned all the lights off. And they showed you all of the satellites orbiting New Zealand, orbiting the world. A lot of them weren't in action. You couldn't even see through them. They were so dense.
Yeah, there's there's so much out there, which is a really hilariously reductive thing to say. But as you say, satellites become unusable because they expire for various reasons, and then they can become space junk. So they have a usable lifespan of about 5 to 15 years, apparently, which does not feel like long in the span of things. This is a bit grim, but of course not all rocket expeditions are successful. And of course not. Even usable rockets might lose some parts. So there's plenty of materials that might become space junk, is my point. There's a lot of varying potential sizes, but they can all theoretically cause some problems in their own unique ways. So it doesn't, well, it's not that it doesn't matter about the size, but even the tiniest bit of space debris can be an issue. The problem is, of course, the speed at which they're travelling. So they're moving in the atmosphere. According to one of the sources I read, it's 28,000 kilometres per hour. So that's slightly gnarly.
NASA into some vortex.
Yes, exactly. Just ricocheting throughout the atmosphere. NASA says that's about 7 times faster than a bullet. So you can imagine how petrifying that might be. Anything going that fast is instantly problematic, doesn't matter how big it is. And if we think about it potentially colliding with something else, aka Earth, they become a projectile, which we don't want that. So it's obviously hard to keep track of exactly how much debris is in orbit, because we know how many things have been sent up. But of course, how can we count the numerous things that break off? But one estimate is 900,000 objects between 1 to 10 centimetres, so relatively small, and over 34,000 objects over 10 centimetres. The BBC has an article from 2022 all about the likelihood of a person being hit by space debris, which has wildly different estimates within it. But honestly, yeah, the figures kind of change across different countries' space agencies. I guess they're all tracking different stuff.
You mean if they're in space, outside the spacecraft, or if they're on Earth?
These ones are referring to if you're on Earth, which is very threatening. But there's, of course, the likelihood if you're in space. Most of us, that's irrelevant to us. Overall,
Is it, though? Oh, yeah, true.
Maybe we'll, thanks to unnamed billionaire, be up there fairly soon. I hope not.
Might have already been.
Yeah, you might have just come back. Overall, it's very unlikely you'll be walking on K Road and get whacked by a piece of satellite. Thank God. But that being said, the more that we send up there, obviously, the more that likelihood inches up. So I don't know, maybe we should stop. But then there's the problem of it hitting the functional things we've got in the atmosphere. Like the time a piece of debris hit the International Space Station and caused some really gnarly damage I think it was the wing? Mm. Yes, I think it was the wing.
But surely with all of the junk, they must be just wading through it like honey, mustn't they?
Mm.
Wrong analogy, but you know what I mean? They must be sort of like dodging bullets.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought. Mm. I suppose space is large. So there's some scope for missing it, I guess. But everything I read was like, we've got to stop doing this. We've got to stop sending things. And also, I should have investigated this article more, but there was one called, Can We Throw All of Our Trash Into the Sun? Answer was no. But maybe I'll do that for another week because I wonder why not.
Those people who are involved in exploration and satellites, launching them into space and so forth, would have an entirely different view about space junk,
yes,
one assumes. Or are they environmentally aware of what they're up to and just don't care? Or do they care and do they mitigate it somehow?
I mean, I guess, look,
we'd have to ask them, I guess.
Do broad strokes and say that organisationally probably don't really care. There'll be some individuals that do care, but they're in the system of that.
But do they have to? Are there any legalities around it?
No, short answer, but I'll get to that. It's a good question. But there's also, I'll just briefly run over a debris cloud, which, as I often say on this segment, is exactly what it sounds like. So space junk is often in low Earth orbit, and it's often too small to be seen from Earth, especially with the naked eye. It can even be like flecks of paint off the spacecraft. But NASA has observed smash-ups or big collisions of space junk and this thing called Kessler syndrome, which describes the possible situation of collision after collision creating a never-ending cycle of debris production, because obviously the more things break up, the more debris we obviously have. And then since the size of the debris isn't a huge factor in damage if it hits something because of how fast it's moving, this is a bad prospect. So we could just have endless cycle of production. So that's something to worry about.
Something else to worry about.
There's plenty to worry about. As you touched on, it's an interesting political subject as well, because down here on Earth, we kind of had a broad idea of who's responsible for what territory, especially environmentally. Whether or not that's attended to is, of course, a different story. But in 2007, the UN, or the United Nations Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space, started paying particular attention to space debris and whose responsibility it is to mitigate it. So now they release annual reports on who's responsible for what's going on out there.
So how are they going to mitigate it?
From what I can ascertain, they haven't.
No. Beforehand, there's nothing much they could really do, because it's kind of random whether they're rockets or spacecraft disintegrate, isn't it?
Yeah. But then now we have commercial activity, which I don't think they probably didn't anticipate. Maybe they did. Maybe that's why they got up there in the first place. Who knows? But I don't know how they're going on policing that. But overall, if we don't suss this out, low orbit could become unusable, which would be a huge problem for all of the things that we use satellites for. I don't know exactly how far away unusable is, but
low orbit, that's where the satellites are.
Yeah, that's where they're all hanging out,
going round and round and round. Well, how do those ones like it's a random question, but how do those ones like Elon Musk's satellites that you see constantly rotating, how come they're not smacking into stuff? Is there an orbit that they, a trajectory that they can go on? Because is this junk, does it stay in its own trajectory?
No. I don't believe the junk does, because it's, so we send things up and we know their trajectory when we send them up and when we're in control of them.
Yeah.
Then potentially they become unusable, and, well, they will become unusable. And then if there's a disaster, which of course there could be, then there's like endless possibilities. It's like Kessler syndrome, what I said. There's endless possibilities for debris, and just,
of course,
we have no way of tracking where it's going, all that kind of thing. So short answer to your question of whether they have a trajectory, I suppose they would in relation to things that we're tracking currently. But who knows about the paint flecks and the other things that are falling off?
Paint flecks can be horrendous.
Yeah. Really problematic
to human
stuff.
Health. They can be. Get them under your fingernail, something like that. It's all over.
Lucky I don't do manual labour.
You don't do manual labour, no.
No, I'm more of a project manager myself.
Yes, and now you're a graduate.
Yes.
You're an official graduate of the university. So thank you very much this week for your space junk chat. And what about your musical pick?
I'm going to pick Wristwatch. Off MJ Lenderman's new album, which I'm absolutely loving, Manning Fireworks. It's so good, and I haven't stopped playing it.
Okay, thank you very much,
thank
Stella,
you.
And we'll see you again next week.
See ya.
And now you know, that was implausible deniability.